Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You tune me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You tune me in this morning by the way of WIONI 1430 AM, 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and also over in the low Ada area, 100.3 FM. We're just glad that you joined us this morning. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both Ionia and Greenville Station by the way of the web. We're streaming that broadcast all over the world, and that's something that's pretty special. You tune me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock, and some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Bring your mouse up over to Messages from the Lighthouse, and it'll show up Current Media. Click on the Current Media, takes you to the broadcast for this morning. And we're looking forward to sharing a good message with you that I want to share that's been a part of my life and has helped me along my journey, and God has used it in my life to help others, and I decided that I would speak about that this morning. So whatever way you joined me, I'm glad to have you with me. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial cost involved in putting together the broadcast. So a big thank you to Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She's from Dayton, Tennessee. A big thank you to Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she's from Greenville. Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence, that was his nickname, and he was from Orleans. Her sister and her husband also gave a one-time donation to the ministry of bringing the broadcast out, and I don't have their names right here with me. I kind of goofed up this morning, but anyway, thank you for the gift that you've given to help make the broadcast go this morning as well. To Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, and to Bill and Judy Hammond family from the building area, thank you for all of those that help us with the financial costs. I need to say thank you to Kayanne Kingsinger, who's been the one that's picked out my music for many years, and she's been faithful to it. A matter of fact, I shared with her husband, I hope she is able to do it for me next year. We want to continue on with the broadcast as long as I possibly can. Saturday evening, the church begins out there to Shiloh, where I pastored for 50 years. Been attending since I've been retired, so I've been a part of that church for 61 years. And our Saturday evening worship begins at 6:30, Sunday morning at Shiloh at 9 o'clock, a contemporary service at 10:45. And then we have a campus in Greenville at the old Calvary Baptist Church located in the corner of Grove and Luray Street, and that service begins at 11 o'clock. So thanks for letting me share with you this morning, and the message is going to be entitled, Come Now, God Says, Let Us Reason Together. And this God is the God of beginnings. The God of beginnings is saying to you, and he's saying to me, come now and let us reason together. So we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But to get us started, we got a song that's is a good song to use, because what I want to share with you this morning is how God blessed my soul. And you know, this song is said, when he blessed my soul. And God wants to bless your soul today, and we're looking forward to being a part of that, we trust, through the message time, and that God would just lead us and direct us according to his blessing. Well, here we go. God bless you. Thanks for tuning me in.
Jesus washed my sin away one glorious morning. He blessed my soul, and he made me whole. Ever since that happy day, I'm a-telling the story. How he washed my sin away when he blessed my soul.
Well, you ought to have been there
that blessed morning
when the love
of the Lord came down
into my soul.
Into my soul.
he made me whole. If you'd have been there,
you'd have shouted glory
to the Lamb,
to my Lord and King.
When you would have been there,
yes, you would have been there when he blessed my soul. My soul, and he made me whole.
Ever since this joy I've known, I'm telling the story.
How he washed my sin away when he blessed my soul.
Well, you ought to have been there
that blessed morning
when
the Lord came down
into my soul.
Into my soul.
He
made me whole.
If you'd have been there,
you'd have shouted glory
to the Lamb,
to my Lord and King.
Well, you would have been there,
yes, you would have been there when he blessed my soul.
Well, you would have been there
that blessed morning
when the love
of the Lord came down
into my soul.
Into my soul. He made me whole.
If you'd have been there,
you'd have shouted glory
to
my Lord and King.
Well, you ought to have been there.
Yes, you ought to have been there when he blessed my soul.
Well, you ought to have been there.
Yes, you ought to have been there when he blessed my soul. My soul.
Ought have been there when he blessed my soul. That's a good song for us to get started with this morning as we look into the message of God says, come now, let us reason together, because he wants to give us some new beginnings, because God is the God of new beginning. Well, we'll get started in that message in just a little bit, but you know, I need to really have us consider the fact that God wants to bless our soul. And he does that, and sometimes it's such a strange way that he does it, and it's such a blessing to us. And then I want us to think about those times that God's done something very special for you, that God wants to use that as you minister for him. And that's what we'll be talking about this morning. Well, my voice is still giving me some trouble. It just seems to hang on and hang on, and so we're just trusting the Lord that things will be okay after a bit. But that's been one of the strongest coughs and things that I ever had in my whole life. And I don't know if I damaged my voice box a little bit or what happened. But anyway, I'm sharing with you this morning, and we're going to get into the message. But before we do, I just love to pray for my listening audience. You're the ones that I put this service together for. You're the ones that I got up this morning, came over here to the lighthouse about 6:45. It's a kind of a cool, wet morning, too. But, you know, I have you in my heart. I have you in my life. And many of you I've met at the supermarkets and different places. And when I do funerals, the different ones that tell me they listen to the broadcast. And that is such a blessing to my life, and I appreciate that so much. The message that we're going to be talking about is for you. It's for your life. It's for you as an individual. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again we come to you, and I come on behalf of the listening audience. What a privilege it is for me to be able to share this message this morning over these wavelengths. I thank you for each station that carries the message, and I ask your special blessing to be upon those that are listening in this morning. So, Father, I want to remember the listening audience. I don't know what their week has been like. I know there some weeks are tough weeks and difficult weeks. Some weeks they go pretty good, and we think that's pretty nice. We have good days. We have difficult days. We have blessings, and then we have some trials we have to go through. And so, Father, as we come to you this morning, we have healthy days, and we have some sick days. And so we just pray this morning that you would reach out and meet the needs of every person that's got this program tuned on this morning. I just ask our Father that whether it's financial or it's spiritual, it could be, Father, emotional, it could be physical, it could be the fact that it's something to do with their family. Should be a fact of something they're going through in a financial difficult time in their life. Whatever it is that the listening audience is experiencing this morning, dear Father, I pray that you give them the strength. You say, as our day is, so shall our strength be. And so I pray you'd give them the strength that they need, and I'll thank you and praise you for it. Now come and honor your word. You've promised us in your word that your word does not return to you empty. It accomplishes the purpose that you send it out for. So I pray that you would just guide and direct according to your will. And I pray this in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, this message this morning, come now, Jesus, or God says to us, let us reason together. I got a little foundation. I always like to have a foundation for the message that I'm sharing with you. And there's a little foundation that I think is something that is very special and why God wants us to come to him and that we might reason with him. There are two things that can help us to be fresh and moving forward in our life. And I believe it's the ability to be able to reason with yourself and others that will bring about a new or fresh beginning. I love what God said in the book of Lamentations, and many people don't read the book of Lamentations, but here's a little jewel that's found in there that the Lord wants us to hear this morning. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I shall wait for him. God is saying to each of us today that his compassion towards us is fresh every single morning. His faithfulness is fresh every single morning. And God is saying to us, this same God is saying to me, he's saying to you this morning, come now, let us reason together. That's a beautiful thing when you think of the freshness of God. You see, what happens in your life, in my life, as we go along, all of a sudden we just kind of seem to do things mechanically. Have you noticed that? I was driving to Grand Rapids the other day, and I know I'm 84, but at the same time, this has been happening ever since I can remember. All of a sudden, I get a certain place on the Beltline or whatever and say, man, did I go through those Bostwick Lake and that? Did I go through at the right speed? All of a sudden, it's just like, you know, you've traveled that road so many times that you just do it out mechanically, so to speak. And we need to realize that that's true about our own individual life. I was thinking that the other day as I got ready to brush my teeth. I thought, you know, I think I start brushing my teeth on the same side every single morning. Then I was thinking about shaving, and I thought, you know what? I get the shaving soap on, and all of a sudden, I start shaving on the same side of my face every time. So I've been trying to change it a little bit. That don't have nothing to do with it, but it's just the idea, you know. We just seem to do things. We just seem to do it mechanically. We've done it so often. Well, what this message this morning is going to speak to us about is God is fresh every day. God's faithfulness is fresh every day. God's loving you this morning with a fresh love. He's reaching out to you this morning with a fresh love. And if you feel stale this morning, God's saying, I'm coming to you with a fresh love. I love it that God gives us an open invitation to come and have a sit down with God and think things out. Because God knows the power of the mind to think, to understand from the judgments by a process of logic is a good thing. I believe there's a close connection between reason and change. When you think about something, all of a sudden you'll be able to, you know, have some different thoughts. And when you come to reason with God, his thoughts are different than our thoughts. So we find out, hey, maybe we can just say, hey, God's got something going there. One of my favorite sayings that I have said so many times through my years, if you always do what you've always done, you always be what you've always been. Let me do that again. If you always do what you've always done, you will always be what you've always been. We need some new thoughts. We need to come and get some thoughts from God. We need some reasoning from him. God wanted to see the nation of Israel, so he used the prophet Isaiah for a long period of time. You see, from this prophet Isaiah, in chapter 1, he prophesied during the reign of 4 kings of Judah. The burden of the prophecy is in chapter is to comfort God's people with their idea of their sins. So this opens up with this thought in mind of God's compassion, God's faithfulness, that is true, is fresh rather, every morning. So then God is saying to the nation of Israel, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:18. The hope of God's blessing is offered to his people. But it's offered to you and I today. It's offered to us that we can come and have a sit-down with God. We can come and reason together. God's given the invitation in the Old Testament, but the Lord Jesus gave the same invitation when Jesus was here. Listen to what he said. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus says, for I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what we're talking about, something for our soul. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come near to God. Come near to him and the message that he wants to offer to each one of us today. And that's something that is pretty special for us to get a hold of. That God has given us this open invitation. And God had given the nation of Israel this same open invitation. And sometimes they would respond to it in a positive way, and sometimes they'd pay no attention to it. And you know, you can do that with God's word. Let me just tell you one thing about God's word. It's called the living word of God. God's word is alive. But sometimes that life of God's word isn't alive in our life. So well, what he's going to do is say, I got an invitation for you to come to me. I want to take a moment to share with you this morning something that happened when I was pastoring at Shiloh Community Church. You know, something I did for about 20-some years is every November it would be deer season. You know, this is the last Sunday of October. And all of a sudden, when we get together next Sunday morning, it's going to be the month of November. And two things that was always a big part of my life in November was hunting and Thanksgiving. Well, I've done my share of hunting at 84. I don't need to go set in the woods anymore. I probably will go over for a day. I have a little shack over in the woods, so I'll probably go over and set in that little trailer shack that I have for a little while because I love the outdoors. But, you know, I don't need to harvest any more deer. But you know what we do was Bev's brother, Ron, lived up in the UP. And what we would do, and he lived in Iron Mountain. And we'd take our family out of school, our kids out of school. And as a family, we would go for 1 week in the deer hunting season up and stay with Bev's brother and his wife. And then we would hunt. I would hunt. The kids would have fun together. They had children. We had children. When I used this time for when I was hunting, I wasn't just thinking of wanting to harvest a deer. But I wanted some quiet times. You see, I'd already learned through the years that when I wanted to study, the best way for me to study for a sermon wasn't to sit in an office in a chair. The best way for me to study for a sermon was to go out of doors somewhere, especially in the summertime. I just loved going out of doors. I had several places that I would take. I had a Jeep at that time. And several places I would take my Jeep and drive over, and I had a little desk even on the front of it, and I could do some studying there, out in the woods and nature and enjoying God's creation. Well, that's what I wanted to do. And when deer hunting season came, I wanted to spend that week up in the UP and out in the quietness of their woods and so on, and I always often called it God's great cathedral. The out of doors. It would be a time with me to spend with the Lord Jesus. And I would always like to reflect upon certain facets of my life when I did that. I'd watch a day be born. I'd watch a day die. I'd think, how am I doing as a husband? I'd think, how am I doing as a dad? I'd think, how am I doing as a pastor of a congregation? And it would be times for the Lord to deal with my heart and for me to have quiet times and reflect upon what God was doing in my life. You know, I told you the day was born. What I did was I got up long before daylight and went out into the woods and be sitting on a stump somewhere with some protection from the idea of being seen with pieces of wood and some pine branches, and there I would be hid, so to speak. And I'd watch a day be born. You know what I learned soon is there's day sounds. There's certain sounds when you sit in the woods that are sounds that are daytime sounds. And then I would stay there many times long after dark and watch the day die. You know what I learned also? Was there was night sounds. Sounds that was just happening because it was nighttime. With a time for me to be all alone with the Lord Jesus. Sometimes I like to think of some of the things that's found in the book of Psalms, like Psalm 72. It talks about God and reminding me. I like to remind myself of things that God was like and what things that describe him. So Psalm 72 says this, His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun continues. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall be blessed in him. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed is this glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. And then it said, Amen and Amen mean, let it be, let it be. This would cause my heart to be humbled before the Lord, cause me to realize how great he is. And then I would begin to deal in that quiet time with the greatness of God, How am I doing as a dad? How am I doing as a husband? How am I doing as a pastor? The main purpose I had in mind was to draw near to God. And God tells us that in the book of Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near to God with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. I wanted to have a true heart. I wanted to have assurance that I had faith in this God. With our hearts sprinkled with the evil conscience, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. I'm so glad that as a young Christian, that the way God works is that he always does his work from the inside out. That's what I was doing as I sat there in that piece of stump and watch a day be born and even watch a day die. And communicating with God on how am I doing as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor. You know what I learned early on in my Christian experience? I needed to have a place like that. I needed to have a place where I could get quiet before God. Do you have such a place? Sometimes it's just a tree. Sometimes it's a special place that may be on some state land somewhere. The church has a campground, and in my early years, before we had all the things we had out there, have out there as a campground, I would just go back there where we had a picnic table, and I would study the Word of God in the out of doors, put together my messages. When I purchased a cabin about 30 years ago, I'd go up to my cabin. And I'd spend time at the cabin. Sometimes Bev and I went together. Sometimes I went alone. And I'd go up there and put together about 6-7 messages. Secretary I had at that time, they would say to me, I hate it when you go to the cabin. You come back with so much work. It just seemed to flow together. And that was something that it was very special. Well, let me just share with you now something that I want to have us realize of how God caused something to happen in my life while I was there in the hunting woods that was very special to me. But I think before we do, we'll take just a few moments and listen to a song, because you know what God wants us to know. Whether you're a dad or a husband or pastor, whatever you are in your life, God wants you to know that if it couldn't be done, God wouldn't ask you to do it. Sometimes people say, I'd want to do something for God, but I'm not sure it can be done. Well, this song is reminding us, if it couldn't be done, God wouldn't have said do it. So no, there is a way that he knows it can be done. So let's listen in. I'll be right back in a few moments.
I told God I would go anywhere except that one place way over there.
Well, what do you suppose God told me to do? He said that's the very place that I'm sending you to.
Then I thought of every reason
that it wouldn't work out, and I named them one by one. But he said there's nothing to it, and I wouldn't say to do it if I knew it couldn't be done.
He wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done. Wouldn't say with them if they couldn't be one. So you might as well obey, cause you know he wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done.
Well, how has God been talking to you? Is there something that he's told you to do? But you are paralyzed by worry and dread. You'll never know the blessing till you do what he said.
Just remember God is able,
and he'll make a way, and the battle will be won. When you say there's nothing to it,
and he wouldn't say do it if he knew it couldn't be done. He wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done. He wouldn't say win them if they couldn't be won. So you might as well obey, cause you know he wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done. He wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done. He wouldn't say win them if they couldn't be won.
God. So you might as well obey, 'cause you know he wouldn't say, do it if it couldn't be done. Do it if it couldn't be done. Do it if it couldn't be done.
He wouldn't say do it if it couldn't be done, folks. He's reminding us that God wants us to understand that he uses things to draw us close to him. And one of the things that he uses is the Word of God. I was telling you that I was sitting there in the woods and my main purpose was that I wanted to draw near to God. Let me tell you a little story of what happened one day as I was responding to God's invitation. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are scarlet, they are be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When I was hunting this time in the UP, there would be a day that I would carry lunch with me. I'd say to my family, I want to stay all day. How can you do that? My kids would say, Dad, how can you sit in the woods all day? Well, I said, you know, I just want to spend a day out there and do this. Just have some time, just all alone. And, you know, I went out, and long before daylight, and it started to get daylight, the sun came up for a little while. And then all of a sudden, it really clouded up. And then pretty soon, it started to snow. It wasn't a very cold day. It was a fairly warm day. But it was cold enough for snow. And by the way, have you ever had one of those kind of snowstorms that you've been a part of when the snowflakes were so huge? These snowflakes were big. I don't know as I've ever seen them any bigger than that. And as I went on through the course of the day, soon the trees and the ground were all covered. That snow stuck onto the trees and even onto the stump where I was sitting, all around me. I even had on that camera, I had on my red outfit, you know, my bright, shiny outfit. And all of a sudden, I'm no longer orange. I'm white, too. Everything around me is white. And then all of a sudden, I caught a glimpse of a movement. I remember thinking, there sure isn't any deer moving on a day like this. This is a terrible day. And all of a sudden, I saw a flash, and it was a bright red cardinal flying from tree to tree. And then all of a sudden, those words from Isaiah 1:18 came back to my mind. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as the snow. Just like that red cardinal stuck out in the snow-covered environment that I was in, I realized, as I never realized before, how my sin must have stuck out to God. And yet he loved me. He gave his son for me. The Lord Jesus loved me so much that he went to the cross and he gave his life for me. And then God's promise is, the brightness of your sin will be made whiter than snow. When we see our sin as God sees it, then we might as well ask ourselves, why would this holy God, this sinless God, give me an invitation to come and reason with him? Isn't that special? I believe the reason is he wants us to draw near to him, as God knows that he can take our bright red sins and make it as white as snow by his power. Then this will bring us into this idea that he wants us to draw near to him. But he not only wants us to draw near to him. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold on firmly to the hope we profess. I was professing to be a Christian. I was professing to be a pastor. And let us hold on firmly. Let us hold very firmly to the hope that we have in God. So that's why I was there to communicate with God, is to find out, how am I doing as a dad? How am I doing as a husband? How am I doing as a pastor? We must trust God's promise. You know what God promised? Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. when God's word, all of a sudden God's word became alive in my life. Like it did in my life that day, all of a sudden I realized I had a strong desire to hold firm to my confession of faith, to hold firm to the hope that God can change my entire life. And at the same time, it will teach us how we can trust God no matter what we're going through. You know, I have found a picture for my Facebook devotion that I do each morning. Each morning on Facebook, I, as a public figure, I do a devotion, and I found a picture that reminded me just like it, what it looked like that day when all of a sudden that cardinal stopped from his flying and he just landed on the branch and sat there. Everything else was white, and there was that little red dot. God wants to tell us that he's going to make all of our redness, all of our sin, all of the badness of our life, if you please, he's going to make it as white as snow. And I got to tell you, that morning, that was driven deep into my heart as to how God can do what nobody else can do. You know, I thought about that, and I claimed that verse, and that verse has meant so much to me down through the years, and that verse has been one that I've used in many different times. But you know, I believe with all of my heart, when you draw near to God, then as a result, he invites you to consider that even though your sins are scarlet, they're going to be white as snow. And when you hold on firmly, I like that idea, hold on firmly to the hope that we have in Christ and hold on firmly to the promises that God makes, as God's word goes to work in your life and he strengthens your life, I believe God wants you to know that he can use that word that means so much to you, that just bless your soul so much, that he can use that as you reach out to do something with others. So before I share about the power of this verse in my life, I need to share that I believe what God has taught us as a Christian in our Christian life, he can use for us to minister as we reach out to the needs of others. Listen to this verse in Hebrews 10:24. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That's the first thing we learn. Second, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Now here's the third thought. This is the thought for right now. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. You know, some people like to stir up people into anger and those kinds of things. God's saying to you, you know, sometimes we call them an agitator, you know, they just keep picking and agitating. Well, God's saying to you, I want you to stir up. I want you to become one that stirs the pot, so to speak. But it's the pot of love, and it's the pot of good works. It's a part of what Jesus has taught us that we need to do, is we need to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And we need to love our neighbor as ourself. God's saying, you know what? What I want you to do is reach out to others. You love me and I love you, but now I want that love to reach out to other people's lives. And please let me say this without to being taken the wrong way. I think God wants us to love ourselves. I remember saying as I would go spend a day like that, where I spent a whole day like that, where I got totally covered with snow and all that, you know, I would have missed out the blessing of seeing that cardinal. But you know something, folks? Something that's we need to get a hold of is that when those things happen in our life, it does something to change us. It gives us a way to minister to other people. So let me say something that I happened to have after this years later. But I've shared this story about the Red Cardinal many different times. One day I was called to visit a man that was dying, and he wanted to talk about being ready for this thing that he was going to do, die. I soon learned that he loved to hunt, and I soon learned that he loved the outdoors. And as I visited with him for a while, he couldn't seem to understand the idea about what sin was like. So I asked him, would it be possible for me to share a story with you of something that happened with me? And then I shared my hunting experience. I got to tell you, he was all ears. Men that hunt like to tell men that hunt stories. And men that hunt like to hear stories about hunting. And you know, I told him about how I went out to the woods and I was sitting there. And all of a sudden it started snowing, and then it was one of those kind of snows where the snowflakes were so big and it was sticking to everything. And he said, you know, he had had those experiences in the woods too, to see the snow and everything getting white around him. And then I told him about the cardinal. All of a sudden I thought maybe there was a deer coming, but it was a little cardinal flying from branch to branch. And all of a sudden the cardinal stopped, and I could see, amongst all of that white, how my sin stuck out before God. And God said, your sin is scarlet, but I want to make it as white as snow. And that man understood. He understood then it wasn't so much what he thought about sin, but it was what God thought about sin. And to God, he said, my sin is scarlet. But I said, but God wants to make it as white as snow. And it's all he wants you to do is pray and ask for forgiveness. And ask Jesus to come and live in your life. And you know, he prayed and he asked for forgiveness. Now, he couldn't tell that, but God's promise said what? He said, I want you to hang firmly onto the promise. God's promise said, your sin is no longer red like crimson. It's white as snow. It's like, whoa, it's going to be something that's going to be, you're comforted now as a result of it. Your forgiveness. You know, that man was laying in a hospital bed in front of a picture window so he could look out into the woods and behind his house. And I didn't notice it, but there was a bird feeder there. And the next morning, I got a telephone call, and it was from this man. And he was all excited. He said, you know what? I've had a bird feeder for many years. And all the years that I've had a bird feeder, I never saw a cardinal. But this morning when I went out and looked at it, when I opened my eyes and looked out to the window, I could see the bird feeder, and there feeding at the bird feeder was a cardinal. I've never seen a cardinal before. He said, that's so special with what we talked about yesterday. You know, it gives me goosebumps then when he told me about that. And it gives me goosebumps as I share it with you. You know, I told him, you know what I believe? I believe you just had a divine appointment with God. He sent a cardinal that you might see you and be assured that your sins have been forgiven. God sent that to be a comfort to you. Now, I don't know about you, but that really speaks to my heart, that God is saying to each one of us, I want you to realize that I have something special for your life. And all of a sudden now that verse was not only alive to me, but that verse was alive to that gentleman as well. And you know something? When he passed away, on the front of his little folder that they hand out, they had a cardinal to remind not only his life, but the entire family, that God had placed his faith in this one Jesus. You know what? That was a beginning for that man near the ending of his life. I believe God can do that. I believe God's love is that great. I believe God's forgiveness is that powerful. I believe God's grace is that he can forgive you even a few moments before you pass away if you cry out and ask for his forgiveness. But how much more can he do for us? And how much more can we enjoy it when we realize that this God that's invited you and I to come and visit with him and sit down with him and to reason with him, that this God is the God of beginnings. He's not only the God that takes care of the everyday need of your life, he's the God of the beginnings of something new in your life. And we need to know that God is reminding us that God wants to do something for each one of us. There's a portion of scripture that I really like in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From this time on, do not think of anything as the world does. It is true, in the past we thought of Christ as the world thinks, but we no longer think of him in that way. If anyone belongs to Christ, then he is made new. The old things have gone away. Everything is made new. And this is from God. Though Christ God made peace between us and himself, and God gave us the work of bringing everyone else to this peace in Christ. I mean that God was in Christ making peace between the world and himself. In Christ, God did not hold the world guilty of its sin. He gave us this message of peace. So we have been sent to speak for Christ, as it is God is calling to you through us. We speak for Christ when we beg you to be at peace with God. Christ had no sin, but God made him to become sin for us, that in Christ we would become right with God. That's from the Children's Bible. I love the idea that God's message is simple. Simple that even a child can understand it. But folks, what God is saying this morning is that you got to realize that though your sins are scarlet, they stick out tremendously to God, he still loves you. And now he says, I want you to have a new beginning. Now this new beginning is the idea that when you come and you come to faith in Christ, you come in your life and you ask him to forgive you of your sin. The Bible is teaching us now that God's reasoning for us is this. He's saying, you know what? You hardly ever thought about me before, God could say to you and he could say to me. But now you think about me. And you know, you always just kind of thought the way the world thought. And some of that is that Jesus is just a swear word. And often you thought that same kind of way. And often you thought that, you know, this idea of just asking forgiveness, that God can do that, you may have looked down your nose upon that. But now you realize, when you reason with God, everything that God wants for your life is coming from God. And he wants you to have peace. So we need to ask this morning, do you have peace with God? That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to make it be peace with God. I will love one of the verses in my Bible and your Bible as well. It says, there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man. It's the man, Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus took the hand of God, and he took the hand of me as a sinner and you as a sinner, and he brought our hand to God's hand. And now he reminds us we have peace with God. But, you know, once you experience this peace with God, what he's saying is he wants you to share it with others, so others might have that peace with God. I believe when we respond to the invitation of God to come and reason together with him, it'll help us to see that we need to have some of the old things that have been governing our life be made new. May I say it again, what I said early on? If you always do what you've always done, you always be what you've always been. And you know something? The same old thoughts that you've always had will produce the same action. If you want to change your actions, you have to change your thinking. Did you get that? You have to change your thinking. We have to think like what God is thinking and what God is saying to you and what God is saying to me this morning. Is He wants us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your sins were like scarlet in His presence. But when you placed your faith and trust in this one Jesus, He's made you as white as snow. And now everything that in your life from this time forward is going to be coming from God into your life to help you as an individual. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and He gave us this wonderful ministry of reconciliation. He's saying to you, I want you to go and do something that brings about newness in somebody else's life. And when you have that newness in your life, that God is who He says He is, and that God's reasoned with you, and you and I have got with God have come to terms with Him, that we have the forgiveness of sin, and as far as God is concerned, we are as white as snow. What a blessing that adds to our life. I got to close with this idea of a song, but I want to mention the song before I do. This song is reminding us that how God has begun a good work in your life, that God is also going to bring it to completion. He who began this work in your life is going to bring it to completion. And how He brings it to completion is as you continue to trust in Him. You hold on to God. Here we go. God bless you. Have a good week. Thank you for letting me share.
He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. Is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night. You can be sure that the Lord has His hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are His treasure, and He finds His pleasure in you.
He who began a good work in you He who began a good work